pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do a roll call.
Mr. Redmond?
Here.
Mr. O'Neill?
Here.
Mr. Francy?
Yep.
Ms. Kane is absent this evening. Mayor Nolan?
Here.
The first item we have on the agenda tonight is the 2012 Transitional Year Municipal Budget Public Hearing. This was published in the August 24th edition of the Two Over Times. We're ready to go.
Steve, did you want to?
Sure, I think we want to open the public hearing up first and then I'll go to an explanation.
Open a public hearing on the 6-month municipal budget. Only have any questions or concerns?
Let me give a short little bit of background here of what happened. We were asked by the state if we could convert back to a calendar year. The process that we had to go through to get back to a January to December year was to do a 6-month transition budget, and this budget is called transition year. We also had to provide estimated budgets for the next 2 years. In that process, we had to go before the local finance board on the consent agenda to be approved to switch to back to the calendar year and do this transition budget. The parameters of the budget were the tax rate could go to a max of 105%, and anything over that we would have to go back to the state for permission. Our expenditure cap was allowed to go to 125% in a 6-month period. Today, at a meeting with the director of the Division of Local Government Services, the state is also going to review our use of surplus in 2013 and 14, so that we don't, if we had a good year in this transition period, we don't take all that surplus and use it all at once. That's a process that they've gone forward to do with these transition year budgets. That being said, we came in on the tax rate a little bit above 50% of where we were for our state fiscal year budget. That's $13,000, and that's only because $13,000 of our state aid doesn't get paid in the 6-month period. It gets paid in the following 6 months. So the way this works is we incorporate all our state aid in the 6 months, with the exception of that $13,000. That was the only increase that we had on the taxes. We will actually be billing about $170,000 less in municipal taxes for quarters 3 and 4 than we billed in quarters 1 and 2. So we shot for 50%. The only change that the state made was the $13,000 state aid. Appropriation-wise, we came in at 51% of what our full year budget was in our state fiscal year 2012. Most of our debt service falls due in this 6-month period, as opposed to the subsequent 6-month period. So that contributed somewhat to what our expenses were. However, we have gone through state review. We came back with no comments. And we're told we can adopt tonight. It is pretty important that we do adopt tonight, as we have a short window to get tax bills out. Our year's almost over. We're 50% through the year. But I think the process, from the standpoint of all the departments, the governing body, and the state, has gone pretty smooth up to this point.
Okay.
And we're in pretty good shape.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone have any questions on the 6-month budget? Mr. Mandrop, name and address, please, sir.
I'm Mandrop, 268 Bayside Drive. Steve, we're not doing like we did last time. We went from the yearly budget to the 6 months. The first 6 months we did when we cut back to July, we spent an awful lot of money.
I just went through that.
We ran through it, and
right.
I don't want to see that happen again. Now, how's this going to affect our tax rate
Well, for 2013, what's going to happen is they're going to take the combination of the full year billing, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4,
right,
and 50% of that's going to get billed in 1 and 2 of 13, and then whatever the tax rate is, whatever the budget's adopted, the difference will be billed in 3 and 4, how it normally would be billed in any calendar year situation.
Based on the budget for 2013.
Right.
We're still going to spend the budget out, the taxes that billed out every 6 months like we're doing now.
Well, right? No, what's going to happen...
We should be able to go back to a full year.
What's going
to
happen now, you're going to get the bill for 3 and 4 and hopefully 1 and 2 at the same time. And then you'll go back to that standard process where you'll always get 3 and 4 and then 1 and 2 of the following year, just like every calendar year gets done now. So we'll be back on that.
And then 3 and 4 will be based on if you raised or lowered the budget.
Exactly.
Well,
the
three we had in July, you sent
out. Well, as part of this process, you have to do estimated tax bills for
right.
three.
Because, that was part of the requirement, you said.
Right, because we can't, you know, going through this process, this is the earliest, really, the budget can be adopted. So you have to do estimated tax bills. In this particular situation, we had to do that.
So if this comes down, we get a break on our third quarter.
You know what, I forget what we used for that third quarter billing. I don't remember that off the top of my head. So I'm not sure if it's not going to be equal. Because we pretty much had this nailed at that point. So I'm not sure what Pat used. I forgot to ask him that today.
I believe you told us it was 252.
What was that?
The tax rate. And last year it was 243.
You're talking about... Now, the only thing I'm talking about is the amount to be raised by taxes. Last year, we raised a little over $6 million in the amount to be raised. This year, we're raising a little over, this six-month period raises a little over $3 million. What I was trying to make on the
That's
tax
rate 51% of what you said.
What's that?
About 51%
yeah,
of what you said.
In the fiscal year format, the calendar year tax rate doesn't come into play.
Right.
Okay, it doesn't, we're billing hybrid, and now we're going to go back to where that tax rate really is going to mean something.
It's actually harder doing it the other way.
Yeah. But it's a hybrid method on a state fiscal year for the municipality.
But you sent us a preliminary estimate. You had to give that number to someone, I think, and it was 252. And then you talked about how it was a half year thing, and it wasn't equivalent. 243 didn't, even though we were raising similar amount of money for taxation purposes, it's just not clear, even now to me, how that 252 tax rate...
I don't, you know what, I'm not sure. The 252, you're talking about the total tax rate.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's just an estimate. We'll get trued up. As soon as this gets down to the state, we'll get trued up pretty quickly.
Let me clarify. Yes, it's a total tax rate. But at this point, the only number that went up is the municipal tax. That is, the library and the county and the schools went up a little bit. All right, the balance of it from 243 to 252 was...
Right, and that was the state fiscal year 2012 budget that caused, I think, about a $300,000 tax increase. In the 2012 state fiscal year budget, the one that went from July 1st, 2011... to June 30th, 2012.
So, Steve, now we get this bill for 3 and 4, and we get 1 and 2. 1 and 2 is going to be an estimated bill.
Right. 1 and 2 is always an estimated bill. Yeah.
Because we're doing the budget for 13.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah, if we get to 3 and 4, we get the...
We true up. We always...
It would be a real number. Exactly.
So, what is the correlation? Chris is saying that there's a 9-cent tax increase. Somewhere.
That was from the prior budget. That was from the fiscal year 2012 budget, which... We had talked about early on about that increase and basically said there was no way to resolve that increase. That increase was going through, and it did. You adopted that budget with that in there.
And what was the driving force of that increase?
There was a lot of driving forces. There was health benefits.
Okay.
There was a driving force. Employee salaries was a driving force. We had unemployment insurance. We had major unemployment insurance in there as a driving force. It was spread out all through, and the number one problem that we have is on the revenue side. We don't have anything really but taxes to support this budget.
Right.
Everything else, this budget really, you know, you're talking about an $8 million budget supported by $6 million in taxes.
Right.
That's where the problem lies. That's where the real problem lies.
Say that again.
We have an $8.1 million budget supported by over $6 million in taxes. So the outside revenue sources are limited. State aid being one of the main factors. I mean, we get $355,000 in state aid.
When we get these new bills, when do you figure we'll get the new bill? We're due October 1st.
Well, bills, the payments are due November 1st. All we're waiting on, once the budget gets adopted, it'll go to the state, they'll certify the rates to the county, and then pass the bill. And then we're hoping that we're going to have numbers well within 2 weeks. Okay? So I know Matt Clark is waiting for us. You know, he's been in touch with us. He's waiting for us for those numbers. So.
What's another good source of revenue besides taxes?
If you had a landfill in your town, the host community tax, the hotel tax.
Business.
Huh?
Business.
Yeah, but nobody wants that.
Not business.
I don't want a landfill.
Hotel.
No, I don't mean that.
If you had hotels, you're allowed to levy 3% of what they bring in as a hotel.
Dionysus Rutherford, I was talking to, is loving life, my friend. Oh, it's loving life.
You could have a variety of different fees that you collect. A lot of it, though, is based on activity. For instance, we had a pretty good year in the UCC. Mm-hmm. Uniform Construction Code had a pretty good year.
Yeah, remember you talking about that early on.
Okay, but where we can't make any money, where nobody can make any money, interest on investments. You know, what comes through the planning board has a lot to do with what's going on in the town as far as raising money. You have the standard fees that everyone else has, but you don't have any of some of the outside other sources that other towns might have. And that hotel tax is one of them. You have to have, obviously, you have to have hotels in the town. But those kind of things generate excess money. You know, the biggest driver is new construction.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone have any other questions? We're seeing now if there's a public portion.
Steve, do you want to read the resolution R12206?
Yeah. This is section 2 upon adoption. The transition year 2012. It's resolution 12-206. Be it resolved by the Borough Council of the Borough of Highlands, County of Monmouth, that the budget year in before set forth is hereby adopted and shall constitute an appropriation for the purposes stated of the sums therein set forth as appropriations and authorization of the amount of $3,026,889.71 for municipal purposes, $15,158.72 sheet 43, open space, recreation, farmland, historic preservation trust fund levy. The summary of revenues are as follows. General revenues, surplus anticipated, $317,500. Miscellaneous revenue anticipated, $403,757.73. Receipts from delinquent taxes, $217,500. Amount to be raised by taxation for municipal purposes, item 6A, sheet 11, $3,026,089.71. Total revenues, $3,965,647.44. Summary of appropriations, general appropriation within caps, operations including contingent, $3,053,036. Deferred charges and statutory expenditures municipal, $67,020. Excluded from caps, total operations excluded from cap, $125,470.73. Capital improvements, $51,300. Municipal debt service, $365,005. Reserve for uncollected taxes, $303,815.71. And total appropriations, $3,965,647.44.
Thank you, Steve. Any discussion at the table? Hearing none, I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. Redmond. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
No.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. The next item on the agenda was the hearing for the Growl LLC Chubby Pickle liquor license.
We've been in several discussions with Growl LLC over the last couple weeks. We received a lot of documentation today. As a result of that, in order to see what was given to us, they requested that be put off for 2 weeks, and I consented to that, and I apologize for not communicating that to anybody, but it happened at the last minute today. That does not mean the charges are going to go away. It just means we're going to see what they gave us, continue our discussions, and you know, maybe come to some agreement, maybe have the hearing at the next meeting. Or it depends what they gave us.
Today. So you're going to table it for now?
Yeah.
Okay. You need an offer on that, or you're just doing it?
You need an offer?
Yeah. I'll offer it.
Offer by Mayor Nolan?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. O'Neill. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
So this is going to the October 3rd meeting?
Yes.
Moving on to the consent agenda, was there any items that anyone wished to be removed?
Anybody have any questions on anything on the consent agenda?
Resolution 12-207.
207. Refund of tax overpayments. You want to remove that and talk about it on its own?
Please.
Okay. Mr. Redmond, anything? Or? Okay. I'll offer then from, right, Rick, you're okay?
Yeah.
I'll offer from 12-208 down. We're removing 12-207 to talk about it on its own?
Separately, okay. Mayor Nolan, offer by Mayor Nolan.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Francie. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries.
12-207, go ahead, Mr. Francie.
We have a request to authorize a refund of a tax overpayment for a property up on Portland Road in the amount of $6,090.51. I'm struggling with this from the point of view. I have no clear understanding why we have this kind of a refund. At this point, the taxes on that property are some $22,000 or $24,000. All right. This is a third of the their tax bill. As I look at this, there's no indication as to why we're doing this, whether we lost a tax appeal, in which case I have a problem with that. We just did a reassessment. Do we have a clerical error? Okay, let's know about it. Do we have a double payment? As we sit here, I don't know why we're giving this away except we have a resolution. So I'm not sure what we would do in the future. I would be asking Mr. Heck to attach a memo
as to why,
explaining what he was doing. I mean, we've been doing 100 here, 300 there. These are.
Let me just say one thing. It comes from the tax collector, not the assessor. This resolution comes from the collector.
Okay, from Pat. I'm sorry. So I don't understand. And sitting here.
Did anybody get any correspondence from him as to why it's on the table? At the table?
Did I? No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I mean, the statute, like he, statutorily, he has to make the, you know, he has to refund the overpayments.
Correct.
It could be various reasons.
Yes.
He could have sold the house.
Right? It could be a closing problem. It could be lots of times we get duplicate payments. We get a payment from the taxpayer, we get a payment from the title company, we get a payment from the lawyer, okay? Things cross, I don't know why, you think they won, but they do.
No, no, I understand that, and those are,
but this tax appeal though.
But sitting here, $6,000 on a $22,000 tax bill, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And we're asked to approve it.
You can send back for further
clarification. We'll get clarification immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, I can text that. Them if you want to see,
Well, I guess I'm frustrated because if it was a tax appeal, then we got a different issue.
We'll text them and find out. Yeah. We'll be here tonight.
Okay, so we're going to table it for further
sounds good.
Answers. Other resolutions?
12-203.
Mr. Padula, you want to speak briefly on this?
Yes, this was discussed at the last meeting. This is a resolution determining the entire borough to be an area in need of rehabilitation in accordance with the tax 5-year tax exemption and abatement law, which also refers to the redevelopment code. The redevelopment code provides the criteria for this.
What is the pitfalls and or benefits for doing this or not?
Well, the benefits is that this is a condition precedent to considering a tax exemption ordinance, which we've talked about in the past, which is also on this the agenda tonight to discuss further. I also appeared at the planning board last week and discussed this resolution extensively, and a lot of other questions came up concerning the tax exemption ordinance. This has nothing to do with redevelopment or adopting a redevelopment plan or eminent domain or anything like that. The purpose of this, which I explained to the planning board and which I'll say again tonight, this is so the sole purpose of this is to provide the borough with the authority to move forward with the tax exemption ordinance should it decide that that's what it wants to do.
Okay.
This was considered by the planning board, and the planning board voted to approve it. It's my understanding that they did not memorialize a written resolution, but it was approved 4-3 on the record, so the council wants to proceed and take action tonight, it may.
Okay. Any questions from the table?
I understand the words, Bruce, but at this point, there's a great deal of suspicion out there that there is something afoot, that it can't be as simple as just a tax abatement. How do we answer those people?
Well, I mean, the ordinance is
considering that it's enabled under the redevelopment statute in the state law.
Well, it's not. The tax exemption is not enabled under the redevelopment law. It's its own code in Title 40A. It's Chapter 21. It's called the 5-year exemption and abatement law.
Okay.
The only part, there's several parts, but the only part that's coming into play here that references the redevelopment code is to provide you the definition of area in need of rehabilitation. That's the only part of this, what we're doing, that refers to the redevelopment section.
Is there ways to get a tax abatement ordinance without any reference to the redevelopment?
No. Okay. There's three ways in current statute that you could get a tax abatement. There's one under Title 54, which is the tax code. That applies to municipalities that have an urban enterprise zone, which doesn't apply here. There's this one, which is under its own 5-year exemption. Then there's a certain long-term provisions that are contained within the redevelopment code, but that's only can be done as part of redevelopment projects. This is not part of that. This is its own standalone section.
You were asked some questions at the planning board in terms of whether it applied to new construction?
Correct.
And you had to get back to the planning board?
No, it does apply to new construction. There's several different things, and I don't know if we want to talk about it now or
sure,
wait till the end, but we might as well do them together.
Yeah, do it now.
It applies to improvements to dwellings, first of all, and that it could apply to that. You have a choice of what you want it to apply to. It could apply to improvement to dwellings. Now, you could provide that the first $5,000, $10,000, or $25,000 of the improvement to a dwelling could be exempted as an added assessment for 5 years. That only applies to dwellings more than 20 years old. So it does not apply to everybody. Construction of new dwellings. You can establish an amount up to 30% would be exempted for the increased value resulting from the construction. You could also phase that.
Excuse me, that's residential or commercial or both?
No, this is new dwellings. Dwellings are residential.
Dwellings are residential,
yes.
Okay.
So you could exempt up to 30% of the increased value as a result of the construction of the new dwelling, and you could differentiate that schedule over the 5-year period. For example, it can only go up to 30%, but you could do, 5% 1 year, or 30%, 25%, you could phase it.
It doesn't
that way.
Have to be.
It doesn't have to be 30, doesn't have to be all the same.
However we agree.
Same rules apply to the conversion of buildings to dwelling use. Then you have improvements to multiple dwellings. So any improvements to a multiple dwelling property, it would be any amount up to the full value of the improvement could be exempted from taxation for 5-year period.
Say that again.
An improvement to a multiple dwelling structure.
Multiple family, single single right. building, multiple family.
Right.
Okay.
The full value of the improvement, up to the full value of the improvement, would be exempted for a 5-year period.
So you would be or could be?
Could be. The max you can do is the full value.
And when do we make these decisions?
These are in your ordinance. So these would be included in the ordinance.
And we don't have the ordinance yet.
You have a draft ordinance, but it's not on for introduction. It's just on for discussion.
Yeah. All right.
Conversion to multiple dwellings. So rather than improving a multiple dwelling, converting an existing structure to a multiple dwelling would be the full value of the conversion alterations up to. So pretty much the same rules as the improvements. It would just, instead of the value of the improvement, it's up to the value of the conversion alteration. You have improvements to commercial and industrial property, and it's up to the full value of the improvement. You also may define categories of improvements.
I believe you had said, though, that it was 30% for the commercial in front of the planning board.
If I did say that, then I misspoke. I prepared more for tonight. I didn't know those questions were going to come up because the issue for the planning board really was the rehabilitation designation, and then we got into the nuts and bolts of the 5-year abatement statute. Then there's construction of commercial, industrial property, and construction of multiple dwellings. Those are done on a case-by-case basis on an agreement with the municipality. And there's three ways that you could do that. You could do on a cost basis, and the statute defines that, on a gross revenue basis. And that means the cost of the project, that is what their payment of taxes is. I believe it's 2%. Gross revenue, I forget how they calculate gross revenue, but it's gross revenue resulting from the project. That would be the payment of taxes. Or you could do just a tax phase-in basis, which seems to be the simplest, but you know, your tax assessor might want to do that, where you construct a commercial industrial property or a multiple dwelling, and you phase in the taxes. So instead of saying, okay, you built this property, your taxes are $100,000, you phase it in zero the first year, 20, 40, 60, 80, and by year end of year 5, starting year 6, you're paying your full tax.
That would be a separate developer's agreement.
I don't want to call it a developer's agreement. That's not what it is. It's called a tax agreement in the statute.
Okay. Now, all of these things, we don't lose anything on the land that we're getting taxed for right now. These are all
That is an option that you have, but I've been instructed not to include that.
We didn't want to do that. That's how me and Becky.
So nobody's taxes would be going down. And actually, the statutes specifically say that as a result of these exemptions, you cannot pay. It's specifically prohibited. You cannot pay less than your assessment was before, unless you have some kind of damage.
Unforeseen, whatever. But nothing. And to make it clear, then anybody that is paying whatever they're paying for the land now, they're not getting a break on that. It's improvement.
Right. And when I say like damage, it's not damage as a result of these improvements. It's like act of God.
Right. Hurricane, whatever. Right.
And the other thing that's crystal clear is that we are only dealing with an improvement in a dwelling unit or a housing stock or something. Nobody's getting something for existing.
What do you, I don't understand.
Nobody's getting an abatement for an existing structure.
Oh, no, you would have to do something to it.
There has to be an improvement.
That was the whole
and remember, there was I don't
the
know
whole purpose of this is to incentivize that improvement.
And I don't know if you were still there, maybe you were. There's a specific definition of improvement, too. It's not just painting the side of your house. That does not count.
Correct. For example, would it be raising the house?
That would most likely...
It's a dollar, isn't it? So
if you had a piece of property and tore the house down and built a new house on it, your taxes would be at least what they were on the old house and property, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you would get an abatement on the...
So if you had a $6,000 tax bill, you tore the old house down, built a new one, in 5 years you'd have a $10,000
tax bill. Correct, and you would have an abatement building up on that. Right. So you'd never lose your existing tax.
Even though you're tearing the existing house down, that $6,000 or whatever its value was doesn't go away.
The way we had, she's not here tonight, Ms. Payne, the way we had talked about it a year and a half ago, when we started talking about this, was you would never lose the dollar amount you're getting now. There would be a basement that you could never go under.
And that's how...
You were looking up something.
The definition of improvement, if anybody wanted to hear it.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't mind.
Improvement means a modernization, rehabilitation, renovation, alteration, or repair, which produces a physical change in an existing building or structure that improves the safety, sanitation, decency, or attractiveness of the building or structure as a place for human habitation or work and which does not change its permitted use. In the case of a multiple dwelling, it includes only improvements which affect common areas or elements or three or more dwelling units within the multiple dwelling. In the case of a multiple dwelling or commercial or industrial structure, it shall not include ordinary painting, repairs, and replacement of maintenance items or enlargement of the volume of an existing structure by more than 30%. In no case shall it include the repair of fire or other damage to a property for which payment of a claim was received by any person from an insurance company at any time during the three-year period immediately preceding the filing of an application pursuant to this act.
So to be clear, this ordinance tonight, all it does is set up a designation so the council can now talk about what type of tax abatement, if any, we vote on.
The resolution, yes.
And the other thing is there was people are concerned that we're doing the whole town as opposed to, say, areas that need rehabilitation. And I guess my answer has been, why should
somebody else
a section of a town not be included when this is only a positive?
You're punishing success if you do that.
Correct. Because people, even though the house may not be a rehabilitation, could in fact materially change their structure, add a story or whatever, for their own purposes, and why should they not get the benefit?
This would encourage that, and in turn,
correct,
the municipality would get the benefit,
correct,
especially
especially 5 years into it.
I think aesthetically you would have the benefit the second the project was done. Okay, any other discussion at the table? Seeing none, I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
I will second it.
Seconded by Mr. Francie. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. Moving on to resolution.
Can we go back to the tax overpayment?
Sorry, sir?
Sure.
Tax overpayment.
Can we go back to the tax overpayment resolution?
Oh, yes, please. This is 12-207.
Right. Okay, it's a duplicate payment. Okay, that was made. We're not sure why the duplicate payment got made, whether it was a closing or just the management, like a mortgage company payment.
Might have been some time frame and somebody made a payment.
It's a duplicate payment and the taxpayer is asking for the funds.
So can you also ask him formally in an email or whoever that would come from, Tim, I guess, that we need to have especially with a $6,000 amount to, in the future.
This is what I said to him. I said in the future, could you put the reason on future resolution?
Just so we know what we're voting on.
Right.
Okay, right. Sounds good. Anybody have any questions on that?
I'd like to move that resolution
12-207. Mr. Francie.
I'll second. Okay.
Seconded by Mr. O'Neill. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. Moving on to resolution R12212, resolution appointing alternate number 2 zoning board member.
We had former councilman Kevin Conley resign due to personal things he had to handle instead of sitting on a zoning board. We're sorry to see him go. If he wants to come back, who's ever sitting here, hopefully they let him. I would offer for that vacant spot Helen Maresca. I spoke to her. Everybody knows Helen in town. She knows the lay of the land, and she'd be her words were she would be honored to serve.
Okay, that's offered by Mayor Nolan.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. O'Neill. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolution R12213, resolution authorizing access to borough right-of-way.
I can speak on that.
Please, Mr. Hill.
The Department of the Army Right of Entry Program for Survey and Exploration, it's been under process. Recently, one of the property owners in a section of adjacent to the Waterwitch Beach area had pulled out of the program, so they were looking for a public right-of-way in the area that would complete the right-of-entry work that they need to do the surveys. They are requesting to do a section of Beach Boulevard that is located right close to the community center property.
Okay.
I recommended that since we've gone step of the way that this be put in resolution format so that we have it for the record in the future.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions from the table on the Corps of Engineers? It's going to be down near the community center. I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. O'Neill. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. On for second reading and public hearing is ordinance 0-12-20, bond ordinance providing appropriation of $1,200,000 for the construction of the stormwater pump station and other stormwater system and drainage improvements by and for the Borough of Highlands and the County of Monmouth, New Jersey, and authorizing the issuance of $1,200,000 in bonds or notes of the borough for financing part of the appropriation.
Now, this is something I believe we're not spending, correct? We're just putting the ordinance in place in case
this
we get
our,
the...
Our half
of the FEMA grant that might come?
Right.
Okay. So we're not going out to bid and we're not spending it right now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to open public?
Yeah, sure. Public. Folks, we're talking about right now possible ordinance 12-20. It's a bond ordinance for what would be our part of the payment if we get the FEMA grant for the ongoing flood mitigation. We're not going to spend the money tonight. We're not going to go to bond. There'll be another meeting, clearly, if something does happen. You'll probably see us running down the block yelling if we get the $3 million. That'll be an indication we're spending the money. But anyone have any questions from the public on that? Ms. Butler, please.
So if we don't get the FEMA grant, what does this go off the books, or are you going to leave it there?
But you would have to do a resolution to take it off, correct? Okay. So there would be have to be a resolution to take it off.
Because you could just leave it there forever.
Ongoing. Correct.
For whatever firm was thinking
of. No, it can only be used for the purpose that's in the ordinance.
Which states the pump station at Snug Harbor.
Okay.
Mr. Manuel?
I'm 268 Bayside. What does it affect our taxes on this? What, 3 cents, 4 cents?
Well, if we get the FEMA grant, okay, then we would be subject to the debt service of the New Jersey Infrastructure Trust. I have not seen the latest printouts yet, so I don't know what the impact is. And even though I will see them, they'll change at whatever point this all comes. If it comes through, it will change because they're based on interest. On current interest rates.
Right.
So I really don't know that yet. They did a...
Steve, do you know what it would be currently?
No. Well, I...
Like if it went through today, whatever the rate is.
Let me just say this. The numbers were actually obtained today, but I was at a conference today all day, so I have not reviewed what went to Trenton in the local finance board notice that came from EIT. So I don't know at this point. And there, it's not just one loan. They work it out in several different ways and give it to you in a couple of different ways. So I have not reviewed it yet, so I don't know the answer to that yet at today's market.
How long is this bond issued for? How many years?
Minimum of 20, right?
20 years.
What is minimum? Yeah, I think
useful life
can go any place.
Infrastructure. Infrastructure, yeah.
Yeah.
Can go to 40.
It's whatever EIT deems when they sell the bonds. So my guess is it's probably going to be like 30, would be my guess.
Why are we doing this now? Can't we wait and see what happens with FEMA first?
Well, this was done because the council wanted to show FEMA that they were serious about providing the borough match to the FEMA funds in order to say, hey, we're here, we're ready to go right away.
But the work that's going to be done here will not completely stop the flooding downtown.
That's why we also have the Army Corps of Engineers come in, Mr. Mandra. We think that it's a two-fold problem.
Well, it's a big problem.
It's no question.
Maybe two is not going to help.
I would tell you that if we do get the grant from FEMA and do the whole project as designed, that it would be a severe impact in a positive way of the flooding. And I think you would have to do the Army Corps proposal that I saw from 3 years ago that is still fully funded and get that done, too.
One's to keep the water out and one's to get the water out.
It's exactly right.
That's what FEMA wants to do, Don.
But it's going to be aesthetically pleasing. Depending on who you ask.
Don, your house on Bayside will be the only house that can see the water.
Our problem, like last night, was all from up on the highway.
We started meetings with Middletown on that too, sir. I can assure you that. And that was about 10 days ago, so... I can tell you that the meeting went well for a first meeting, and we have a second one being planned soon.
We've got to dig out Jones's Creek.
That's also in the works, too. We've got permitting and all that being done. Okay. I'll close the public portion. Is there any more questions?
All right. The final reading and adoption on this bond ordinance is going to be carried to the October 17th meeting.
Okay.
We need it to get before the local finance board.
It goes, yeah, whenever you do an EIT financing, as a matter of course, it has to go before the local finance board to be approved. It goes on your consent agenda to be approved.
And okay.
So we have to hold until after that meeting.
Do you need an offer for that?
Yes.
I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan. Second by Mr. O'Neill. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
On for introduction and setting of a public hearing date for October 17th is Ordinance 0-12-21.
An ordinance supplementing
Section 7-3 of the Code of the Borough of Highlands to provide Section 7-3.9, parking in front of driveway, permitting homeowner or resident parking in front of that resident driveway.
Of their own driveway, correct?
This is
Chief,
just
do you have any thoughts on this? You good with this?
Offered by Mr.
You're going to be the guy. Well, we didn't do the public hearing yet. Oh,
so this is the
I think it's the problem, actually.
Okay.
This is mostly an administrative item.
Okay.
That and the problems we've had in the past with parking.
Meaning like the combative issues that we have so far, you think they'll be calling and this more so?
It permits it, but you have to actually get a physical permit, so you have to have an application process. Somebody has to do the permit.
So we're going to be issuing permits to the borough?
Yeah.
This will the just to move it forward.
That says the
police department.
Okay, so this is just for the public hearing on the 17th.
Yes. Right.
I'll second Mr. O'Neill's.
Second by Mayor Nolan. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes. Let's make sure by that date we know exactly, you know, dollars and cents, what we're doing and the badges and how we're doing that and the chief's role and his department in getting them and obtaining them and confirming that the person is really the person, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Hire another guy. <We're more talented. laughs>
With that, we'll go to the engineer's report.
Thank you, Mayor. 2011 road program. One of the issues on Woodland was that the drainage along the utility poles, one of the poles had to be held in place. Finally received the JCP&L work order for that. So now we're pushing the contractor to remobilize our forces and get that work done. Bay Avenue, the punch list is currently being worked on, and the sod is scheduled to be, sod and punch list, are scheduled to be finished next week. Highland Avenue, we have a commitment from the contractor that the punch list, including the speed humps, will be completed next week as well.
Okay.
The last thing I'd like to talk about is the NJDOT Municipal Aid Grant Program. Grant applications are due October 16th. As you know, we go through this process yearly in the hopes of receiving grant money for the street and town.
How do we do usually?
I'd say we didn't receive last year, but the past several years we've received money. So.
And then the 80% DOT determines
percent?
That?
Yeah, DOT determines that. And one of the things they've been really kind of cracking down on, or really things they've been focusing on, is how many open grants do you have? So if you have a number of open grants.
Just DOT or all grants? Doesn't matter.
DOT grants.
Okay.
How many do you have? I mean, did you finish last year? Did you finish years
before? Right, we're just doing half.
That's starting to weigh into their review process.
How are we doing as far as that goes?
We have some open, but we're near closure.
For a reason.
Highland Avenue, Bay Avenue, for example, or DOT grants, and near closure. So I want to get a consensus from the council tonight for a street to apply for.
How about we redo Bay Avenue?
That's
county. No, our side's the one that's messed up, by the way, guys. But thank you. The one we just did is still flooding, so let's see.
How about Shore Drive down towards the park?
So there are two that we're thinking of. One is Shore Drive, the other one is Portland. Shore Drive, we received funding on two years prior. Would be continuation of that and really finishing it. So there is basically a record of DOT funding that street, which is a good sign. Typically, we like to continue,
right,
and finish it off. So that would be something that would be suggested. Another one we could look at is Portland Road from 36, continuing south. And I would, at this point, I couldn't tell you how far to continue, but I would base that on the
cost estimate for the improvements. I certainly wouldn't want to say, do the whole thing, it's a X amount dollar project, and you only get $200,000.
Yeah, yeah,
I want to try and match it appropriately.
Shore Drive clearly would be less, right?
Shore Drive, it's a really a milled overlay with some repairs. Even though it's lengthwise, it's a long stretch. Because it's a milled overlay, it's cheaper as far as the total cost. And it's, you know, if you look at the south side of it, along the shoulder, it's pretty rough. The south side would be the side away from the water. That lane is also pretty rough. The northern side is better condition, but still has signs of deterioration. There's joints in the road. There are cracking. There's cracking. There's areas with base repair. Rideability is not the best.
Okay. You need suggestions tonight or next week?
I would like it tonight. It's due in a month.
Okay.
I'd like to have tonight to give us the time to complete the application and get it in.
Ocean Avenue.
Can we come back to that at this point? We needed to talk about.
Shore Drive goes nowhere.
At this point, the flooding at Valley and Bay is out of control. The water is not getting to the pump station. We had separated out that part of the project from the flood control at one point in time to go somewhere, and I forget.
Right, we talked about going back to DOT, which we submitted last year, and they knocked it down for one reason or another.
Right. But at this point, I think we're stuck. We have to go do it. And so, I mean, the storm last night was not crazy bad. Yet, at this point, the water...
I don't know where you were, but up on the hill it rained hard. Real hard up there.
Well,
it's a short period of time.
Relatively short period of time. I don't think an inch of water fell, personally.
No, it has to be at least an inch.
I don't know. We'll find out from the sewer authority. They have a rain meter. But I'm thinking we have to do that.
Do we have a cost estimate on that?
$660.
In that range.
What's part of the flood plan?
Correct.
Right.
All right. Let's do it under that.
Well,
job under that, and do the other part of Shore Drive under the DOT plan.
What's the max DOT give you?
The max we've seen, it's increased over the years, but the max I've seen is 250, with 200 being a very good funding amount in the last 2 years. Prior to that, the standard was always the max standard was always 150.
Okay. So chances are the most you'd see is between 150 and 200. So at 600, we're bonding 400,000 for argument's sake. Mm-hmm. And 400,000, how much is it?
It was a
10-year
improvement.
For Valley?
Yeah.
No, at least 120.
It'll be reconstructed up to a crazy range.
20,000 in principal plus interest. The only problem I will say is we have been going to the Monmouth County Improvement Authority because we save so much money going. They only have that a 10-year max, which would make it 40,000 plus interest. For us to go out 20 on our own, problematic.
Okay.
So I would say we're looking at 10.
But this would be EIT, no?
That Valley's under the drainage project, which is the EIT.
Right, but if you got DOT funding to do it, and that goes before, say, before the flood project, you'd use DOT funds to... move forward with that portion. So.
Oh, all right, that's a good question. Let's back up a second. Let's say we decide to go forward at 660 and get 200, let's say, and we're looking at 480, 500 with everything else included. If I issue notes for a while, will you be able to, when we get to EIT for the whole thing, will you be able to get that in there?
Say that's timing. If the DOT grants, DOT issues a grant, and we don't know about FEMA, let's say for our worst case scenario, we don't know about FEMA, so we haven't pursued the drainage project, then the timing's off. DOT has 18 months to award a project. So
I think okay. Let me rephrase. Okay. We're gonna go ahead with the project. We're gonna use DOT money. The net left, let's say $400,000. Could we get that $400,000? Would that be a piece of the bigger DOT.
So can you put combine the DOT funding with the EIT funding as a, to help offset the local funding for it?
Right.
Yes, you can.
Okay, now assuming we get in there, that's a whole different scenario. We're going to bypass everybody else and we go with the longer duration. Okay, we don't know what that duration is going to be at this point. But you can figure 40,000 plus interest on 10-year and 20,000 plus interest on the 20-year, and obviously the interest is much higher on the 20-year bond than the 10-year.
Right.
But not for nothing. Move on Shore Drive while you're waiting to find out whether you're getting FEMA money. Because not for nothing.
What's Shore Drive?
Shore Drive.
I understand what you're saying, Rick. I understand what you're saying. I think I'm not tying Valley into DOT money in my mind. I think Valley we have to move ahead because at this point we can't tolerate the situation that's happening.
Regardless of what goes on, you need to move forward and get
correct
that done.
So do DOT on Shore Drive.
Oh, I thought you were saying
No. I just wanted to kind of postpone that discussion so we kind of brought them all in.
Okay.
In my mind, I think we have to move on Valley because at this point it's unreasonable what we're submitting, what we're subjecting that bed and breakfast to, along with three commercial establishments.
Two of which are out of business. Okay.
Okay, but maybe they're out of business because they keep getting flooded. You know what I mean?
Or they're vacant because of that.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. It's.
What are we looking at Shore Drive, dollars and cents?
I'd have to do an estimate on it.
So, do you want to go with Shore Drive with DOT?
What's that?
I'll make that motion.
Kev, what do you think?
Well, if it has to, but I don't. I really don't care about Shore
what
Drive.
What do you think, Mr. Francis?
I guess I'm struggling with spending money because it becomes available rather than out of a need.
So do you want to not spend it at all and go?
If you've been down there, there's a need to do that road. There is a need to do that. The road is rough, like they said. It's part of the bike trail. If you rode down there on a bicycle, it'll pound you. I don't know. I think that's a better play than... It's going to have to be fixed. So you're going to fix it now, you're going to fix it later.
If you fix it now, you maybe got grant money to do it. I guess
it's
the argument.
Not for nothing. A lot of people live down that street.
Well, we submit that that's what we want to do and don't get the grant money. We have to do it. There's your answer. I'll go Shore Drive. I'll second Rick's motion.
I'll third it.
All right. Mr. Rippon?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Mayor Nall?
Yes.
Okay, Shore Drive it is.
Now, just to let you know, part of the application process is a resolution that will have to be in front of the council for approval. So we'll provide that draft resolution to Carolyn. And
you mean by the next meeting?
It doesn't have to be. You can follow. We have 30 days. Up to 30 days after the submission of the applications. We have roughly 2 months to get that.
So whenever you have it ready, yeah. Send it to Karen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Open space grant, Tim?
What are we going to do about Valley?
No.
At this point.
We have a cost estimate in place.
Okay.
All right, and I can circulate that again tomorrow if you'd like.
Please do.
Make
sure everybody gets a copy, including Councilman McCain.
And then it'll be a matter of, if you want to basically pull the trigger to move forward and have it designed and move to construction with it.
Did we televise it when they
cleaned
it out?
Not this last time, no. We cleaned it. They're still actually cleaning on North Street now.
Yeah, I mean, we have to have spent $30,000 or $40,000 on cleaning Valley.
Definitely
in the ledger. And that's the debt service. And it's not only are we spending the $30,000 or $40,000, we're not getting anything of value for it.
Yeah, it's filling back up on you.
Filling up. At this point, there's a 6-inch surcharge on the upper part of Valley in front of Arnie's house,
mm-hmm.
coming out of those storm drains. It's just not getting through Bay Avenue. It's not getting down to the pump. The pump is running at 1,200 yeah. RPM when it could run at 2,500 RPM.
Yeah, pump's starving.
Pump's starving.
It could take more.
And, it's a shame we would only be able to, it's a shame we're only thinking about doing just that narrow piece of Valley when we should be doing the laterals too, but.
Right, which is still part of the overall project, but yeah, your main trunk, I mean, you can't get water down the main trunk to the station and the laterals aren't going to get to that point.
So you'll get it all to us tomorrow, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll put a better cost estimate from last time.
What do you mean?
Oh. Make it less.
Make it less?
Pretty.
Paper towel tubes?
Whatever needs.
You're getting Rick like tonight. Usually. Mr. Hill, you had some news on the open space grant?
Yes, Mayor. We were in the running and we applied for the Monmouth County Open Space Grant Program. The application was due and it was submitted today. Last year we had a public hearing in October with regards to doing beach access at Snug Harbor Beach, and that was the project that was submitted. We were reviewing other projects at the time. One was the Trebuchet Ball Field as a potential. Cost estimates at this time were to redo the field. We're faced with additional items, even though we'd like to improve the conditions up there. Once we go to that magnitude, we also have to get into ADA improvements, a host of other involvement on that facility that I think financially right now, with all that's going on, a decision was made to table that particular endeavor. We did submit the grant application. It was prepared, and the approximate cost is $46,000 for the improvements. The Monmouth County Open Space Grant, if we do get it, is a dollar-for-dollar match. So it's a minor grant that we're applying for, but based on past submissions, we had information to put this grant forward. And because the public hearing was held within a year that met the criteria, it did go through the public hearing process. So that has been submitted. As a follow-up with the Community Development Block Grant, it's not on the other business, but the Community Development Block Grant funding, interim funding was announced today. Our project is one of seven that will, if HUD stays with the numbers that are being allocated to the county, the North Street pump has been considered for CDBG funding as submitted. So the good news there is if the HUD, we're right on the bubble. We're number seven, number eight behind us. Only got a small portion of money. We've got an allocation of about $179,000 towards that project. However, the caution there is it has to be approved, go to the freeholder board, and then when the allocation from HUD is announced, they're generally pretty close, but we're on the bubble. We're number seven. So if any dollars are cut, we'll be the first project that's impacted at that level. So we're holding out hope, but that was good news today.
So who will vote on that, the county freeholders?
The resolution was passed today at the CDBG level. It does go to the County Board of Freeholders for their formal endorsement. That may take a month, month and a half. They vote on the project as a whole, though. They don't get to, you know, change the order or who's in or who's out. But based on that, like I said, once HUD makes their formal announcement of the dollars that are going to be coming down, there's about $1 million in projects that were awarded on the county level for seven projects. There was over $4 million in requests that came in for that same pot of money. Very competitive, so
okay.
We're happy to be in that. We're happy to be on the bubble right now, even though you don't like to be there.
As long as the bubble don't burst.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Hill.
You're welcome.
Request for use of Veterans Park?
Yeah, we do have a request, and I bring these forward. The Community Center did get a request last couple years. The Fellowship of Christian Athlete Program has held an annual event at the Community Center facility. This year they'd like to hold their open event, public event at Veterans Park. It's a standard program there. We do have requests that come in for public programs and public performances, and this is geared towards the youth of the community. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Chief's left the room. I don't think he's had to break up their group before, right? I don't have a problem with it. Anybody want to weigh in on that? Problems? Go, yay, nay? Chris? Okay, I think we're good, Mr. Hill. You don't need to vote on that or anything, do you?
No, it's for informational sake, and the event will be held 10-10-12, October 10th, 12, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at Veterans Park.
Okay.
And it is open to the public, and Mr. Whitehead from Henry Hudson and Bruce Kosman, who also is affiliated with one of the other facilities, are involved with that program as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Review of draft tax abatement ordinance. I'd like to see, can we hold this till the second meeting in October, guys? What I'd like to do, and you could, you know, weigh in, obviously, anyway. Mr. Padula brought up a lot of I guess hypotheticals, what we could or couldn't do. Let's all get together, you know, okay, via email, one-on-one, so we don't break the sunshine laws, and tweak it out. If we have to meet, we can have meetings one-on-one. Obviously, we'll include Ms. Kane in it and try to get some kind of maybe a agreement by the first meeting in October. I'm not going to be at it, but obviously, you know, I'm one vote out of five. And then maybe have something ready for the second meeting in October.
Would it be proper to include that chart you were reading from into the ordinance?
Could you send it all to us?
Yeah, why don't that, I was just going to suggest, why don't we do it that way to avoid, you know,
give us
excluding people, you know, to not violate sunshine notice. Well, as communication from me, I could send you the chart so you could see all the options, then you could communicate back to me what people's preferences.
And maybe we can come to a consensus and go from there. Okay. Public portion? Let's see who we got. Tara Ryan.
Thank you, Mayor. Tara Ryan, 17 Ocean Street. Mayor, a while back, the body very nicely voted to have dog parks in town. And one of them is under the bridge at the south end of town. And recently, a sign was put up saying no dogs on the beach. And I wanted to know if that was intended, if it was a mistake, because that 7 feet away, it says dog park, and then the you have put up to the
bags and the bags, right? Yeah, is there a bag thing? Yeah. Right,
there's a sign that says dog park.
No dogs
on
the beach.
No. It's the sign that, you know, clean up after your dog. Okay, is right there up front with the bags, but on the, I think it's the state or county fence. There is a metal sign that says no dogs on beach. And I was wondering if you knew about it, because the sign's not working, okay? Everybody lets their dogs.
Well, I believe in the existing ordinance, we do have a prohibition. I believe it's in the ordinance about having dogs on the beach. You're right, dogs don't read and people don't read that no dogs allowed sign. So we've had that ongoing. But your question is directly.
Did you know about it? Did you have it put up? I mean, it's only recent.
The doggy pop bag dispenser was put up. The no dog allowed sign, I'm not aware of.
That might have been put up by the state. They might own a piece of property down there.
I think that it was, and it's on the fence. It's on that middle fence that, you know, right underneath the bridge.
That's the state fence, but we can find out.
Okay, so we just don't let dogs on the beach be on the fence then. I mean, I think it's silly, you know, like you can have a dog here, but you can't have here.
And the dog can't read, right? And so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Tara. Kim Skorka?
I just wanted to Kim Skorka, 315 Shore Drive. I just wanted to follow up on the noise ordinance because I see it's been tabled. I wanted to present just a couple of options I thought of that might be the happy medium. One is if you're going to have live music, no amplification.
Okay.
I think any of the commercial establishments in this town are large enough that amplify music, singing is warranted.
I did speak to the owner like we promised, and I think they'd be open to suggestions. I really do. So that's something we can look at.
And another option is possibly, and I don't know, Chief Lewis on here, I don't know if it can be done. Don't ticket the owner, ticket the band for being too loud.
I don't know that either.
Again, I'm trying to come up with something.
I agree with you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Kim. John and Melissa?
We're going to pass,
thank you. Okay, thank you. Carol Bucco?
Carol Bucco, 330 Shore Drive. I was wondering if Resolution 12-203 is going to help with the condemned properties and move that process along.
Would that be the substandard housing? I don't have it in front of me.
Rehabilitation.
Well, I guess in theory, if you play it through, that's the beginning of a tax abatement ordinance for improvements on properties and houses. So I guess if you play it through and somebody had the ability who owns a property now or in the future to make an improvement, an incentive would be that there's a tax abatement in place. Can we, should we be able to?
Suppose they don't improve it and then you have this wrecked piece of property there.
That would go to 12, where am I looking? I'm sorry. The other one we did tonight, which
so
was substandard housing.
That would go to that.
Well,
yeah, we skipped over it, unfortunately.
Did Did we?
I was wondering, am I the only one who didn't hear it?
Is it not on this list? Not intentionally, but we can...
It's on my agenda.
It's not on mine.
It's on the agenda.